Coming up, we follow three Yanks and an Aussie through the storytelling challenge. With three people still left on the team, how will they decide who's going to do the talking? And what's love got to do with it? Find out right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're still in Storytelling Week, and we've got one last team to catch up with, three Yanks and an Aussie. We'll hear their final entry at the end of the episode, and we'll also get some one-on-one coaching from Tom Merritt. But before we get to any of that, let's see how the team is doing as they come up with a concept for this week's entry. I'm here with Brad of the still-titled Three Yanks and an Aussie.
Improperly titled. We need to go to Two Yanks.
Improperly titled. You know what? We're keeping it, though.
We're keeping it, yeah. You know what? She's still here with us, as part of our journey, for sure.
It's funny. I didn't intend for it to be a lesson in naming your podcast, but it is something to think about when you come up with the name for your podcast. Make it something that's still going to be relevant.
Overly confident about this whole experience. We weren't going to lose anybody. That's why we went with that name. We were very sure of ourselves.
You guys are still the largest team.
That's true.
That's something definitely to be proud of. We'll do the rest of this interview with an Australian accent. How's that? Does that work?
No.
I think
I'm done. My career began and ended all in one show. It was just
we're not worried about a Crocodile Dundee remake starring Brad.
And my wife, she's very into the Australian accent thing. Uh-huh. And I just tell her, hey, there's no role playing going on here. Like, this is don't ever. This isn't gonna work. That was like a side quest
with a leather duster and a whip or something. It's not a knife.
See, even you hearing you do that, like in my mind, I think I can do that, but I know it's not going to come out right. So
it's funny, yeah. You know what? There's accents that are hard to do, and I think Australian is one of those. I think I even do it really poorly. They had extra syllables and things like the word no. It's like no has three syllables in it when you say in Australian. No. You know, it's like
no. No. I can't do it. don't get me going again.
Let's move on to storytelling. You guys have had a chance to talk about it. Have you guys figured out what the story is you're going to be telling?
No, and I don't want this to become a trend. It happened last week, but our idea did not come until late in the involvement. We plan on meeting again. We kind of throw around some ideas, and Gidget's had a very fun life. So I don't know if it might be another thing around her, but she seems to have some really cool experiences. So we might pick one of those and learn, figure out how to play with it. We're trying to figure it out. You know, there's so many good ideas, and narrowing it down seems to be such a hard thing. And for us especially, I guess last week it went down to the final hour. Like, hey, let's just do a show on this. Let's just go, you know?
It seemed to work out really well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it worked out for comedy because comedy is very free flowing. And so it was kind of like, let's just get something that can kind of come together organically. And it did, and it worked perfectly. I'm a little afraid for that with a story, although there is some good elements that could come through in telling it the first time. You know, I haven't heard you tell this story before and kind of do more of an interview style, but I don't know, you know, so it might be more structure here that's needed. So
that is going to be the trick with three people and one story is how do you frame the show and how do you deliver that story and still have everybody somewhat contributing in a way that may not be everybody telling the same story, you know?
Exactly. And we've had it as a goal of ours from the beginning is to get everybody on the mic because that's part of this competition to us is being on the mic, you know? So we wanted to have everybody's voice heard each week. So that's definitely part of what we're trying to fit in is get everybody heard.
You guys have a session later today with Jenny Josephson, which should be really cool.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you listened to any of her shows just as kind of prep, or will you be doing that?
Yeah, I will be. I have not yet, but I've heard her show is pretty amazing. And and we're going to, just like we did last week with Tom, I think he helped guide us into some really good areas. So we're really going to be leaning on her to help guide us and kind of help our ideas. We're just kind of pulling her into the team for a little bit and helping us with that. And then hearing how she, formulates her podcast and does that show, I think will be super helpful for us.
It definitely should be. And I think between her and Tom, you guys have two really good coaches this week for what you want to do. So
absolutely. I tell you, every coaching session we've had has added so much value to our podcast. And I feel like it should be showing in our podcast. I feel like we've really been growing a lot, and every week gets a little bit better.
I think so, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you guys have come a long way since you know, the food podcast. Would you eat that? Would you eat kangaroo steaks? No, I think last night was a great example of something that you can do even with little preparation and still have a very compelling and entertaining 10 minutes of audio. And sometimes those best accidents come out of those happy accidents come out of little planning.
Yeah. And I think Scott said it in the judging. He's like, it's a little bit like his podcast in TMS. Yeah. The thing that y'all do is that kind of element of like surprise, and you just don't know where it's going to go. And it just goes a different place, you know?
Yeah. You throw everything at the wall, you see what sticks. And at some point, the audience, you know, just realizes that is your method, and that they're going to get the sticky stuff as well as the stuff that falls to the floor.
Exactly.
Oh, this is becoming the worst metaphor ever. Can't wait to hear what you guys come up with.
Oh, yeah, we're excited. So,
excellent. For sure. All right. Well, good luck, Brad. We'll talk to you soon. Let's hear from Tom.
It's going well. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What'd you think?
Let's start with that. I have little things I would have liked. I love the episode. I would have liked to hear it translated into other slang. By the way, I don't know if you realized it, Gidget, but you translated servo into petrol station, not gas station.
I know. I couldn't remember what the American term was for
which
it.
Actually, it was not a bad thing. I was like, that's hilarious.
It was the same with chemist here. What do you, are you guys called pharmacy?
Pharmacy. Yeah, my wife's actually a pharmacist.
Oh, a chemist. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice that one. That one slipped by me.
I didn't think of that one at the time.
It was almost too useful, honestly. Like, I'm like, oh, this is really good. I didn't know about a servo. That's great. It maybe could have used a third phase change because you had a good setup, and then you had a kind of a repetition where you got like, okay, you guys repeat it to me now. It could have used a third act where you did something different. I don't know what that would have been, but honestly, I loved the premise. You had a great intro. It was really fun hearing them try it because you had one person who was good and one who failed. And the good times were contagious. You could tell you guys were just having fun doing it. I very much appreciate using Bruce as an example, as a Monty Python fan. And nice finish at identifying Brad's alien accent as the new skill of the week. Very well done.
We're still pushing Brad to try and do, like, before you came in, Tom, we were going, do a British accent. Because we're still getting pure delight out of Brad.
I assume your personal story will all be done in Brad's alien accent.
Exactly.
We're just going to have Brad do the story in a different accent each time.
Oh, man. Like
I gave that career up. One show, I was done.
No, it's so promising. Don't give it up.
It's so promising.
After the fact, Hammond offered to have somebody teach us how to do sword fighting. I'm like, well, we could make it a YouTube podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that idea. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So what do we got planned for this week?
We're going to tell a story.
A story you're going to tell.
We're still working on that part. Gidget had some good ideas. She's had a fun career and some good ideas there. I just threw out the story of, because it's Valentine's Day, how me and my wife met. It's kind of a fun story. That's a very exciting week of events that happen. And
Gidget was telling us about how she met her partner. And so that could translate to, you know, all three of us telling that story because we all three have that story. So like
three loves. Yeah.
Three loves. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I would like to
it.
Do that. Yeah, three loves.
Brad, you got to say it with an Australian accent. You got to do the intro.
Three weddings in a podcast.
That actually wasn't too bad, Brad. You're lying.
I've actually secretly been working on it a little bit more.
You did tell us you wanted it to learn it. That, like when we started that recording the last one, he said he wanted to learn it so he could do it for his wife because he thought it would turn her on.
She's a big fan of the Australian accent, but I'll have to say later Valentine's.
I would be tempted to be concerned that you don't have a clear idea, but this is exactly the point you were at last week and you won. So obviously it's a good formula for you. And honestly, I think one of the reasons you won is the chemistry that you three have, right? Like the fact that you're like riffing off each other right now, use that. I know it's a personal story podcast and you can go lots of routes with that. The traditional way is to have a person tell a story. But if you, and I think you guys got Jenny Josephson coaching you, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, Tell It Anyway is not a person telling a story. It's a person pulling stories out of multiple people. And maybe you use your love idea that way and make, you know, how we met your topic. I'm not saying entirely rip Jenny off, but, you know, lean into the fact that you've got this good conversational vibe going on.
Sure. I asked her directly because I had to listen to it. If we could kind of rip off that a little bit, because it's such a good format that her format's great. I love her show. It's really good. And she gets some really fun stories and a lot of people are able to ask questions and kind of open those stories just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I really love it.
The thing you want to do, and this is not about good podcasting. I mean, good podcasts definitely take ideas from each other and use them. I do it and people do it to me and it's all great. To win the judges over, you might want to avoid them going, sounds like you just ripped off Tell It Anyway. So try to figure out like, what's the one thing that is different that makes it yours? You know, that little element that you can add to it. So it's not just three different stories, you know, and
Australian
I don't know
accents.
Well, we that go. Helps, right? But she's had Australian accents on her show before,
she
too.
Has,
you know,
oh, yeah, she has.
This
I didn't
may be a horrible idea, but think along the lines of like maybe each of you rate each other's stories or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, rate your love story.
If we could, so Jenny's idea of the common thread, I think, was the thing that we would be ripping off the most more than anything
right,
else.
Right. And that's a time-honored format right there. That's,
right, exactly.
Yeah. That doesn't belong to anyone. But yeah, you could have a heat meter for each love story or something.
Oh dear.
or go two trees like and a lie.
What's the sub-zero?
Frozen.
Yeah, that's you know, like ours wasn't very steamy at all.
You didn't get together.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, that would be the punchline of my story. My wife and I met her first day on campus at college. And we ended up not actually dating until about 8 months later after I actually asked her to a dance, like a fraternity homecoming, and she agreed. And the day that we were going to the homecoming at dinner, she said, oh yeah, I just started dating this other guy. She was dating him for like 4 months.
Yeah, this is good stuff. This is good stuff.
This is good stuff. Yeah, wait, save it for a second.
You have
your topic, you have your stories, you have your vibe, your conversational vibe. You just need to nail down your structure. Like what's going to be your format? How are you going to get in and out of the stories? And what are those elements that you can do that put your stamp on it that says this through line podcast is different than others you may have heard?
Perfect.
Right.
Love it. Great.
Yeah, it's the old beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah, you've got your three acts. You just need the connective tissue.
And Jenny said something that's really been resonating with me is making sure we know what we're out to achieve first. Like, what do we want out of this, or where's our?
That's really good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That'll help you figure out your element because that's what you want to state at the very beginning. Yeah. This is a show that X. Yeah.
Boom.
You know, and we're going to do that by each of us telling you our love story.
Yep. Yep, that makes sense.
I think the good thing is if we have fun the people listening generally will have fun. Because that's what we did last week. Because we were just cracking. Brad was just making us crack up. So,
yeah. The only risk you ever have with relying on that is if you get too inside baseball.
Yep.
If you're making each other laugh over something, the audience is like, I don't understand what they're talking about.
Missing it on it, yeah.
You didn't do that last week. Don't do that this week, and you're golden.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good plan. All right, guys. I think this is great.
As part of winning last week, Three Inks and an Aussie get a special bonus this week. They get some time with our special guest, Jenny Josephson. Let's listen in on Jenny's coaching.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
This is so, so exciting. I heard that you guys are the winners for this week, including Jerry, who couldn't be here.
Yes.
So you guys are in the middle of producing a thing. Like a producing a storytelling podcast.
Yes, yes. We're actually still at the very beginning phases. We're trying to get a story. And so we haven't really like narrowed down exactly what story we're going to do. But I know Gidget has some great stories and concepts, but we just haven't cleared out which one we're going to tackle.
Okay. So here's the thing about storytelling podcasts. Now, my expertise in this comes from, I'm going to be ashamed and admit this out loud, from a podcast that is currently pod faded, but not permanently pod faded. And it's super kind of Brian to invite a lowly pod fader who did a storytelling podcast to give you guys advice. But this podcast called Tell It Anyway was an idea I had back in, I think it might've been 2015 or it was 2015. And the overall defining trait of any storytelling podcast is, like really any other podcast, structure. So when you've got, look, every story, what does it have? A beginning, a middle, and an end. So you're always thinking about whether it's a funny story, a sad story, an awesome story, it's beginning, middle, end. And if you just have those three beats written down, then you can, no matter how loose it is or how scripted or whatever it is, you always know roughly where you're going. So that's one.
That's
two. Right. Yeah. So, and also just jump in at any time you have questions. Yeah. and then the other thing is, in terms of developing a storytelling podcast, now you guys are just doing sort of a short story. You want to figure out like what is the structure of how we tell the story? Because on Tell It Anyway, and this was Matt, my husband, Matt Flanagan, who's a comedy writer. This was his great insight. Just it's not enough just to sit around and tell a story and, it's so funny and everything. We had one person tell a story for about 15 minutes, then the second, and then the third. And they were all around a central theme and they all... found ways to interact. So you're always looking, especially when a storytelling podcast could so easily just devolve into we're having fun on the internet, which is, by the way, perfectly fine. It's helpful to know what you want to achieve from the structure itself.
Sure.
So that's my biggest
goal is from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So now, do you guys want to tell me what you guys are working on and see if I can sort of give you any tips? Is that part of the thing? Is it secret? You tell me.
It's I last night started racking my brain as to funny stories that have happened to me in my life. And I just wrote down three main sort of stories that, as you said, that do have a beginning, a middle, and an end, or a punchline, as you know, you could have. And my question would be if we've sort of advised either probably the best idea to go is with a story that relates to what we've experienced. You can also probably, I guess, tell a story about a famous person or a famous situation that happened in the world that you know a lot about. What would you always prefer, a real life story that's happened to us or hearing about a famous person?
Yeah. So here's our, that's a really good question because this is a rule we had on Tell It Anyway. I would ruthlessly edit out people when they started talking about other people that weren't there because the story that's the most powerful is the one that comes directly from your lived experience. Now, famous people can cameo if you've met them or like Russell Crowe flipped over a table in your restaurant or something, like, tell that story, right? Like,
yep.
if mm-hmm. you were there and it happened to you and it involves someone notable or, you know, even just an authority figure like the principal at the school or you're a teacher or whatever it is, like, that's all well and good, but they should be the characters in your story. And it should always be happening, if it's a nonfiction storytelling thing, it should always be happening to you. And that's so critical because it removes any distance between you and the audience. It's like, I'm telling you what is happening to my life. And that means you can take them on a journey from funny to heartbreaking to back to funny. And if you're telling a story that didn't happen to you, you're never going to have the heart and the
emotion,
the guts. Yeah. And the emotion behind it.
Yeah. And another thing is, when you were doing your podcast with your husband, did you all pre-tell each other the stories before you recorded, or were the stories a surprise as you were recording?
So we had a little system. We developed a system, which is we didn't want our guests to know what stories they were going to tell versus what we were going to tell. Like, we tried to keep it as non-pre-told as possible, but we did right. have the theme. Okay. And we often would pick the theme based on a story that we knew one of our guests or both of our guests wanted to tell. So it was really easy to tell stories about camp, so summer camp, right? And we right. knew that the people that we selected all went to summer camp and all had stories. And that actually turned out to be one of the greatest episodes we ever did. We knew Matt Flanagan could tell 75 stories about Christmas. So we did a bunch of Christmas episodes, like, and it turned out to be one of our best episodes ever. So, but yeah, we wanted to keep the spontaneity because the thing that is the best, and this is always the best in any creative process, are happy accidents, right?
Right.
You always want the magic of something that couldn't have otherwise happened. It's sort of like with comedy improv, right? Yep. You never know where it's going. You just have to trust that it's going somewhere. And if there's like fat in the middle, edit that out. That's my, yeah. you know, I am a, I know there are a lot of people in podcast world who, you know, you just start it, stop it, clip the top, clip the end, put it out, put some music on it. I'm a notorious editor and I'm okay with that because it really does. If you have the time and you have the stuff, it helps craft a story and take it from a great and funny loose story to something magical, like a Christmas ornament of yep. of perfect story. So I don't know what the rules are in this podcast, but if you can, edit the heck out of it.
Oh, we can okay. edit out the wazoo. Yeah,
yeah. And
so I'm with you on that because yeah, tight editing just makes a tighter podcast and a punchier podcast. And
yeah.
And all right, another question.
I want to get in some other questions because we're heading down the. Anyone else have a question before we get back? I'll get back to that last question.
Oh no, I was just going to make a comment that you mentioned the thing about happy accidents. I think that's how we actually got to be the first podcast this week is that we ran into a happy accident.
Yeah.
That kind of exactly. the magic was born out of there. So exactly. I totally agree with that comment. That was really resonating with me.
And you never think there's going to be one when you're in the middle of it. And also it's really hard. I'm sure people have talked to you about driving. If you guys are the ones driving a podcast and you're thinking about how to steer towards happy accidents, it's hard. It's working two different sides of the brain at one time. And it took me a while to get good at it. But then when I did, I became sort of like the gentle story guide, like the Obi-Wan of telling a story about farts, you know? I'm sorry. Let's get back to your question because I want to get all the questions in that we can.
Okay. I was going to say, so if we pick one specific person to tell, because we've only got, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to do the mm-hmm. podcast. So if one person tells the story and the other two haven't heard the full story, is it okay then for them to interject as well, asking questions about the story as the person tells it?
Yeah, because of the time limit, I might suggest like say, okay, let's limit it to one or two interjections, right?
Right,
sure.
Because the amount of time you have defines your form. And so you say, okay, if you got an interjection or you want to ask a funny question, fine, but you've got to give this person time to get through beginning, middle, end of story. And in 5 minutes, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge.
And as a comment on that, so I got to listen to your podcast for the first time, the Tell It In a Way, and I was listening to the Curveball episode. But I love the chemistry of somebody's telling a story, but people do have interesting questions about that story as it was kind of, and it kind of opened it up just a little bit more. And I kind of like that. So my question, I guess, on that is, can we steal that formula? Is that okay?
Yes. I'm a really big believer. Tom Merritt is like just one of the princes of the podcast internet. And he is always really big on a Creative Commons mindset, which is he doesn't try to hold things to himself. He just sort of like passes them on into the world. And since he taught me everything about podcasting, I have no choice but to say, absolutely, go for it. Mention my name, mention the podcast. People will do anything for a plug, right? So anytime that you have the opportunity to throw to someone else and give them credit, it is a magical thing that just like pays forward and starts to build community and tells people that you're one of those people. Like I use music in my podcast, right? And you could hear if you heard on a Tell It Anyway, the kinds of music that we use with very specific purpose. And all of that comes from the Free Music Archive. And I always search for a Creative Commons license. I always attribute. I always try my best to follow the rules that they set out for each track. And that's important. Like, that's an important thing to know, is that somebody put their heart into this work. Somebody puts a heart to the story. And you want to give them internet props, is what I like to call it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Any last questions? Any last advice? Anything like technical you want to know about in terms of like, you probably have a technical advisor about breaths and ums and ahs and stuff like that. But I have lots of theories about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if, Gigi, if you don't have a question, I actually have a question about that.
Yeah.
When we go into edit, editing can take a while. And sometimes I think we've ran into this as a challenge for us, is like we're getting the major editing and we're trying to like, is that, how important is that to clean up to you? And
well, okay. So the first answer is the available time is the available time, and you do what you can and then you get it out in the world. I'm not a big fan of holding things, even though I'm doing that based right that. Now with a Tell It Anyway, but that's okay. my thing is, this is what I learned when I worked at Marketplace, the public radio show Marketplace, keep the breaths, right? You can, if someone sounds really asthmatic or like, you can mute it or you can level it down or whatever, but keep the breaths, keep editorial pauses. But you can get rid of like just pauses where people are thinking. You hear, see how I just did an you could get rid of that That is not important, right? But if I say, you know, I was walking down the street and something bad happened. Keep that That's a good right? And it's a matter of knowing which of the verbal tics and mannerisms are important and which are not. And then the other thing is, this is a direct from Kai Rizdal piece of advice, don't change the way people talk just to get a clean, especially in storytelling, right? So if I'm one of those people that's like, and then, like, and then, like, and then, like, and then, you could probably get away with like cutting out two of those like again, right? Like, you don't need all the likes, but if it's the way, and Matt, like my husband, Matt, he's kind of a stutter talker. He gets so excited. He's like, and I keep that because that's his way of expressing himself in the world. And it's part of his character makeup is the enthusiasm. Now, if he does it 17 times in a podcast, I'm going to trim some of them. Right. So it's like it's like if you're shaving a beard, but you want to keep the goatee, I guess, is the way that I think about verbal tics and mannerisms and stuff like that.
Nice.
Right? You just want to keep enough to keep the character of the facial hair, but not so much that you're just
you
want to
get rid of some of the scraggles, but you don't want to actually remove the beard. I gotcha.
Yeah. I want to be cross the other side of the street.
I like that.
Okay, last thing, we have like 40 seconds. Go.
Go get it. You got this.
Okay. The only other thing is that all three of us in the team can edit. And last week, Jerry did an edit and then put it online, and then I grabbed it, I think, and then Brad did some editing, and then I grabbed it and edited it. And everyone's got very different edit styles. How do you sort that out?
Make sure you always sync to Dropbox is my first thing. I think that you have to develop a style for the show itself. Right.
Yeah.
You have to. It's part of it is. And then that's a discussion. Right. Like that's a back and forth. It's like you want to be consistent across show. Do a Google Doc and make some rules. We don't do this. We do this. We don't do this. We do this.
Right.
And eventually everybody develops a format.
OK, cool. Awesome.
OK, boom.
Jeannie, you've been great. Right there.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. I'm so excited to listen to what you're working on.
Oh, we better be good now.
I know, right?
Well, that's the other thing. That's the last thing. We haven't been cut off yet. So what I'm going to say is sometimes it's not good at the start and you just keep going. Like if you go back and listen to the first episode of Tell It Anyway, I think it stinks. And I can even listen to the last episode of Tell It Anyway and be like, wow, that was before I went to public radio and actually learned how to edit. And I have a hard time with it.
Welcome to Life Lessons, a show where we share with you a story in the hopes of learning something valuable about life. Now, most of the time we share a fun story with some interesting life lessons. But in this episode, my friend Jerry shares a very real and personal story. Sometimes our life lessons come at a great cost.
I still remember the first time I killed somebody. Let me start back at the beginning. I'm a doctor. I practice primary care currently, but like all doctors, I had to go through medical school. And during medical school, one of my attendings in trauma surgery quoted the alarming statistic that each and every person in the room had a 60% chance of killing someone within the next 10 years by their direct action. He even clarified to say that we would not allow them to die, that we would not accidentally cause them to die, but that we would do something that led to their death directly. In the general public, it's not something that we talk about very often, but every physician has an awareness in the back of their mind that there is a statistical probability that we will do something wrong and lead to a horrible outcome for another human being. We train very hard and we try very hard to learn as much as we can to avoid that, but mistakes happen to all of us at one time or another. And sometimes we're just plain wrong. When I was a resident, there was a patient that came in, an older gentleman who had been dealing with a cough for a couple of weeks. I noted that he was on several different medications for heart disease and high blood pressure, but unbeknownst to me, he had a long-standing heart condition that led to an abnormal heart rhythm happening intermittently without warning. This will become painfully important soon. So he came into the office and sat down across from me. I introduced myself and we began to discuss the symptoms he had been having, the cough for the last 2 weeks, the problems with a little bit of postnasal drainage. He said he had felt a little bit tired as well, but didn't really have any specific concerns otherwise. I asked about medication changes. I asked about any recent dietary changes. I asked if he had been around anybody else that had been sick. And based on our discussion and what I saw on his exam, I diagnosed him with an atypical pneumonia, what used to be called walking pneumonia. I suggested that he would benefit from an antibiotic for a few days, and I even sent a prescription for a cough medication to help with the symptoms and allow him to get some rest. As a resident, I had to discuss that plan with the attending physician on staff, so I gave him a brief thumbnail sketch of the patient, what I thought was wrong, and what my plan was. And also, not knowing the patient, the attending said, "Sounds like a great plan." So I gave the patient his paper prescriptions, encouraged him to continue pushing his fluids and getting plenty of rest, and walked him up to the front desk to check out. The next day, I came back to the office to find a message waiting for me, basically saying that the patient had been brought into the ER by EMS in cardiac arrest, and they weren't able to resuscitate him. I was devastated. I didn't think I should ever be allowed to practice medicine again. I reviewed the case. I went back over every piece of information that I had available to me, and even things that I didn't have available to me but could easily have asked for. I talked to my attending, the one that had signed off on the plan. I discussed it with the patient's primary care physician, who was another resident in my program. No matter how much I tried, no matter how deeply I looked, I couldn't find any other explanation than that I didn't ask the right questions and likely caused a medication interaction that led to a fatal arrhythmia. I killed that patient. I was one of those statistics that my professor had been talking about. I'd like to think that that experience made me a much better physician, that it taught me a very important lesson that even if I think I know something, I still have to ask, I still have to clarify, I still have to seek out information and facts. I can't assume, I can't presume, I have to know. But it also taught me that there are times when I'm not going to have all the information, times when it's appropriate to ask more questions, to wait for better information, times where I may not know what to do and have to ask for help. I'm not saying I'll be perfect, but I am saying that I will do my best every single day to prove that trauma surgeon wrong, as far as I'm concerned.
You've heard all three teams and their entries into the storytelling challenge. On our next episode, Scott, Justin, and Nicole will join us for the judging with very special guest star Jenny Josephson, whose entry will top the bestseller list and which contestant will be eliminated. Find out on the next episode of America's Next Top Podcaster.